All right, it's Everyday Morning Matters, and it is EMM, your regular finance program, right here on 91.3 Lagos Talks. I am Michelle Agu, and we do have Ugodre right here in the studio with us.
Yep, I'm here. Morning,
Hi.
Lagos.
Hi.
How are you?
It's very well. It's been a while.
Have you seen this year, though?
Oh, yeah, at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
Sadiq build on us.
Yeah, as usual. As usual.
Yeah, but it's all good. It's all good. All right. Now, remember that Everyday Money Matters is a show that is brought to you to talk about financial issues and also, here and there about the economy. And Ugodre is right here with us to speak to us more about it and to keep us up to date about Everyday Money Matters. Literally, there's so much going on today in Nigeria and so many headline stories in the financial sector. And I'd let Ugodre tell us and walk us through.
Yeah. So it's been a busy financial week. Every week is basically a financial week for Naira Metrics. So what is top on the news this week? So we started off this week with this very strong rumor that we might just be having a new CBN governor. That was the rumor. And
Emefiele.
So the gist was that Emefiele might, his term ends in a couple of months. And so the gist is that, well, if his term ends, it's not going to be renewed and there's likely going to be a new CBN governor. So a lot of names have been brandished out there. I don't want to mention names. But he came out yesterday and debunked it. And not necessarily debunked it. He's like, look, guys, I'm still here. Because the gist was like he was getting fired. You know, so you know that the rumor mill, once it starts like this, it just keeps spiraling. And so he came out and said, look, I ain't going nowhere. I'm still here. I'm still the CBN governor. I still have to, like, June. So June. Please, can you guys just allow me enjoy the last 3 months of my reign? So yeah, so he's still there, and that's true. He's not going at the moment. So who's gonna replace him, or is he gonna remain there? So
that's the gist question,
now. Now, there's a lot of ways. There's a lot of ways you can look at this. One is we haven't actually had a CBN governor do two terms in fact since we started democracy in 1999, and I dare say before then, and that's because so a CBN governor can do two terms. That is 5 years. A term is 5 years. So two terms of 5 years, that's 10 years.
Okay.
Right. And the position of a CBN governor is actually it's one of these portfolios that, you know, is very sensitive to federal character. Right. Yeah. So you can have somebody from the north and south. So it kind of rotates that way.
Okay.
So it was Sanusi, the advent of democracy. And then when he left, it was Soludo. And then when Soludo left, it was Sanusi, the other Sanusi, who is now the emir of Kano. And then when Sanusi left, then it was Emefiele. So it rotates north-south. So the gist is that, you know, it might have to go back
to the
north. No, it's usually north-south. It's not about west, east, north-west, or east, north-south.
Really?
Yeah. That's basically. So it's just this unwritten rule that it swings that way, north-south. So the gist is that it might have to go back to the north. And if it doesn't go back to the north now, you'll have to wait for another 5 years. So can they wait that long? Now, that's what's not in favor of Emefiele. And then there's also gist that, you know, it could maybe go to a lady this time around, because there's a lady that's been rumored that might take it. Her name is Aisha Ahmed. And that's because she was appointed last year. And the circumstances around her appointment kind of suggest that it was strategic, because she used to be an ED in Diamond Bank, and she was fast tracked actually to be an ED in Diamond Bank, and then subsequently she was just appointed straight up into the CBN. So, you know, rumor mongers or conspiracy theorists would think, hey, look, maybe that's why she's been fast tracked, and she might just be the right person, the next person rather. And she's a lady as well, and we haven't had a female CBN governor. I don't think we ever had one before, so she might just be the first one. But then she's quite young. I think she's 42 or 43, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that young?
People are like, oh, yeah. Because CBN governors are typically in their 50s, you know, so we're used to, you know, like very experienced.
She's actually achieved a lot.
Seasoned bank. For her age, yeah. She actually does. She has achieved quite a lot.
Interesting.
So, but then, now on the flip side, you know, which sort of like favors someone like Emefiele. So the story is like, well, look, I mean, He's done quite well, at least in the eyes of the government, right? The government kind of likes him because he's basically, done a lot of the stuff that they expect him to do. He's banned, a lot of capital input, restrictions of capital inflow or outflow outside Nigeria. He's done a lot of all those things. He's banned using Forex for importation of all sorts of things. The government kind of likes him. He's supported their rice production or whatever, which we're going to talk about later. And a host of other things that he's been doing. So they kind of like him. And he's sort of a bit of a socialist. So he's a developmental economist, something like that. And the government likes him. And there's also just that Buhari typically likes to give people two terms. And there's precedent for that. So most times he renews your term, and that could also play in his favor. So it's a bit of a debate out there. Nobody really knows what the president is going to do, but I would pitch my tent on perhaps someone new. It could even be an outsider. You never know. And one thing as well, we've never had an insider become CBN governor in a long time.
It's always someone from the outside.
So they've not necessarily just promoted from the ranks. To be fair, the current crop of deputy governors, most of them also came from outside. They were appointed as well. So, but I haven't seen any deputy governor quickly just, get fast tracked
to
the CBN governor. So whatever the case is, but that's just a rumor mill out there. So that kind of explains the gist around the CBN governor, right?
Yeah, it does.
Now, this is just as well about, government banning textile imports. So it's not necessarily textile imports. It's basically the CBN saying, look, if you want to import textile, please go ahead and do that. But you're not going to buy dollars from us. Yeah, you're not going to buy dollars from CBN. So the CBN is basically restricting Forex. So
you think this is just coming in the favor of the government just to play for a second term? Like him,
government is in the second term already. And that kind of plays to his favor as well. Because, like we said, another thing that was in Emefiele's favor was that, people think that he kind of basically, because of a lot of the restrictions that he put out there to a flow of cash, money for exchange for votes, wasn't actually as widespread as it used to be in previous elections. So he basically kind of controlled the flow of money or money supply. So now again, he's trying to do this, and he's been successful basically at banning importation of things or accessing Forex, for importation of items that he doesn't want to come in or the government doesn't want to come in. He's done it with the 41 banned items. It's been going on for 3 years now. Nigerians are basically just used to it already. Now he's added textile. Now, but the thing is that textile is not where we're really, really, really good at. Our textile factories have struggled over the years. And that's basically due to imports of textile materials. So most of our textile mills are basically moribund. Some have shut down. And so we basically just import, textile materials from abroad. So I guess that this would favor, textile manufacturers, because then they can now start to
look inward
and perhaps manufacture textiles materials, and then we can buy from them and can create jobs. But these things have downsides though, and the downsides basically is that local production doesn't necessarily mean cheap goods.
True.
Yeah, because cost
made
of production.
Nigerian goods are not that
cheap. They're not that cheap. If you want to wear, like I always tell people, how come like just to get someone to just sew native for you, they're telling you like 20-25k. You compare that to a designer shirt, right? It's kind of like the same price, and you're wondering like even the sewing and everything is completely different. But then made in Nigeria is actually quite expensive. So people who naysayers, people who don't like a lot of all these, banning and stuff. And like, look, it's okay to want to support local production, but you got to be very careful about it. You can't support local production to the detriment of people's purchasing power or being able to make a choice to buy things.
Do you think the government is aware of that?
I don't think so. And so for other countries that have done something similar in the past, like maybe the Korean or the Asian Tigers, like they call them, what they did was that, look, they'll support local production, right? But then they would also put a catch, and the catch basically is that, okay, I'm going to ban importation of a lot of stuff, but I'm going to give you 2 years to start exporting. So, and the idea is that you have to be competitive as well, not just in the local market, but in the foreign market. So if you're very good at what you're doing and you start exporting, then over time, the cost of producing that stuff in Nigeria starts to reduce. And then we can now, people can now start to enjoy, you know, cheaper, you know, textile or cheaper goods and services, which is basically the sacrifice we've all made for, you know, encouraging local production. But I don't think the government necessarily sees it that way. So a lot of times, a lot of these things are basically just political, right? So I'm supporting local production as well. And then people start to buy things and it's just exorbitant and expensive. And then if it continues to be expensive, we're all just going to smuggle things in. So people are just going to start to smuggle textile materials in or find other ways of importing
them. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can buy them cheap and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's basically how this thing flows. So it's good in a way, but at the same time, I mean, if the government doesn't really follow through the rules, because these things basically have their rules, right? So if you're going to be banning importations for local production,
they should
invest. There are certain rules that you just have to play by for things like that to work. So if you don't play by those rules, it's just going to fall flat. They tried to do it with local production of cars. When, you know, there was just about Innocent, about this, where are we on it now? Because you didn't play by the rules. So you don't have what it takes to actually produce cars locally. The infrastructure is not just there. The market is not just there. The funding is not just there. So, I mean, like, how are you going to produce cars? And because you want to produce cars, you now raise tariffs on importation of cars. So for you and I, who want to buy cars, it's not so expensive to buy a car because the government wants us to buy locally made cars. But then the locally made cars are not
there. Where are they?
Yeah, they're not just there. The financing is very poor. So that's an example of encouraging local production and local production actually going really, really bad, or that policy just going all bad. So that's typically what happens. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen to textile, because this is not the first time they're doing this. Previous governments have done it and it didn't work. Maybe it might work this time. I really don't know. But like I said, there are certain rules that you have to play by. And if you don't play by those rules, you are basically going to lose. So that's really what this means. Yeah, so that's on banning textile.
Yeah.
So now the other thing, because we're almost out of time.
It's good news about rice, huh?
Rice, yeah. So that's the gist that we're hearing, that we've basically banned rice, right? So, we've basically overtaken Egypt. We've banned rice like 2 years ago. So, we're basically overtaken Egypt in terms of
production
of rice.
And exporting.
That's a kind of sideways kind of story, though. I don't know about exporting. This local production of rice, thank God, it's just so political, so politicized. So, if you read very well, Egypt basically was, you know, I think number one producer of rice in Nigeria, but
in Africa.
So I think they have problem with the water or something. That's what I heard.
So you think they'll be back on the spot?
Yeah, they'll probably be back. So it's a temporary glitch. But then, I mean, whatever the case is, you're overtaking them anyway.
Yeah,
whether it's because of water or whether it's because of famine or whether it's because of whatever, we've basically overtaken them. So is it now going to be for a short period, or is this, you know, going to be sustained? I really do not know. But for now, we can bask in the euphoria that... that will surpass Egypt in local production of rice. I don't know where you buy your rice, though. Is it local? Do you buy local rice or do you buy foreign rice? Do you even know the difference?
No, I don't know the difference.
You don't know, right? Yeah. Some of us really don't know as well.
No, I don't. Okay. We have to go on a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll be wrapping it up. And of course, we'll be taking your messages. Send your messages now on WhatsApp on 0809-234-5913. That's 0809-234-5913. Stay with us. All right, so apologize for that long break. We're back. It's Everyday Morning Matters with Michelle and Ugodre right here. We have messages on WhatsApp already. I don't know if we should go for that or we should wrap it up with the financial or policy changes in the country at the moment. What do you say?
Yeah. So I think we've basically covered some of the major talking points this year, right?
We have.
This week, rather.
Yeah.
So I don't know what might happen between now and next week, but I mean, that basically covers some of the major news. So we can now go straight to the questions.
All right. This is coming from Kenneth. All right. Kenneth is saying, good day. I need help. Okay. I have some money I'd like to invest, but I'm not caught out for business. I'd like to know the best funds and asset management companies like ARM, and the nature of their portfolio options. All right. I wish to give them my funds to invest with, Please also tell me if this is a good move and the level of returns and timelines, broadly speaking, I should expect. Thanks. I eagerly anticipate your reply.
Oh, that's a long question. So there are a lot of very good fund managers out there. ARM is a good fund manager. There's several other ones that you can, you know, invest through. Remember, you're not investing in them, you're investing through them. So you're giving them money and then they go invest on your behalf.
Oh, okay.
So they probably put the money in a mutual fund or some kind of fund and then invest. In terms of returns, I think Nairametrics typically has this quarterly ranking of mutual funds with the best returns. So you might want to check Nairametrics.com for that ranking, and that will give you an idea of, you know, mutual funds that give you the best returns.
Okay. Does it change?
Yeah, it does change. Yeah, it changes. It changes on a monthly basis because it depends on how well they invested, you know, the pool of funds that they have.
That's good.
But what you always want to check is that the returns that they give is higher than inflation.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not higher than inflation, then you might as well just do it yourself. I mean, what's the point giving somebody money to invest for you when you can do better than what they can do? And then remember, you're also paying them fees, so it's not like it's free. Yeah, so when they invest for you, they take a percentage of the value.
Return.
Yeah, not even the return, a percentage of the value of funds that you invest in. So it's a good asset management company. There are other ones as well that you can try. You can go online. You can also visit SEC website and you can get a list of fund managers. I think we have the list as well on Nairametrics.
All right.
So yeah, so not bad.
We have to hurry up. This is coming from Sam, and he's saying, with Treasury bills rate failing, where can one purchase the Sukuk bond, and how reliable is it compared to Treasury bills? This is coming from Sam.
So Sukuk is as reliable as Treasury bills, and Treasury bills as reliable as Sukuk. So the difference is that Sukuk is Treasury bills is short term, 90 days, 91 days, 182 days, 364 days. Why Sukuk can be, it's a bond and it's about 2 years or thereabouts. So you can buy Sukuk through your stockbroker or through your bank or through a licensed financial institution, but mostly stockbroking firms, you can buy Sukuk through them.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. Returns are slightly higher than Treasury bills, and that's because it's a longer term investment.
All right, this is coming from Anu. Anu is saying to Money Matters, what is the safest investment to make for a university, for university school fees by a middle-aged parent that is just 5 years to retirement?
So you want to, I'm guessing you want to invest ahead maybe for your kids. So there are a number of ways you can do it. You can invest through mutual funds that have specific packages for things like this. So there are mutual funds that are basically set up for, you know, savings towards, you know, an education target or budget. So you can use that. You can use those ones. You can also go, you know, you can do insurance. Now, the only thing with insurance is that they don't necessarily give you some kind of return, but is this insurance package that you can do that, say, let's assume you're targeting 5 million naira.
Yeah.
And then you can start to invest quarterly. You tell them, okay, I want to be doing 250,000 quarterly towards saving 5 million naira. And then when you do that, whatever happens to you, let's say, God forbid, maybe you fall sick or you die or something happens, right? Even if you saved up to 1 million or 2 million, they would always pay that 5 million.
Really?
Yeah. They'll just pay it straight to next of kin.
Huh?
So insurance companies offer that as well. So you can do that kind of package. Yeah. So basically you don't lose.
Sorry, what package is that again?
It's an insurance savings towards education.
Oh.
Project. Yeah. So you can keep saving. So at the end of the day, you really don't lose much, because what it just means is that after 5 years, you get your cash back.
Yeah.
Right. Or if nothing happens to you, the only difference is that they might not give you some kind of return. So it's just basically a form of savings. But if you're looking for savings that give you some kind of return, you know, probably go through a mutual fund. But remember, return is per annum, so that's like 10% per annum. So what happens is that even if it's 10, 12, or 13% per annum, you basically, the interest, you capitalize the interest as you add it back to the principal and roll it over and keep doing that. So you have to ask yourself, how much do I need to save yearly at that percentage to give me that kind of money?
All right, this is coming on Twitter, but sorry, on WhatsApp, there's no name here, but you're saying, good morning, Michelle. My question is, what does the ban on Forex mean for regular fashion designers?
What does the ban on Forex mean for regular fashion designers? So the ban on using Forex for importation of textile, I guess that's what you're referring to. So what it means is that if you're a designer, it's going to be, you can't, it's probably going to be a lot more expensive for you to, you know, access foreign textile, to, you know, to maybe, so those of you who sew native, mm-hmm. it's just going to be a lot more expensive because now okay. the materials are not going to be more expensive because the people who are importing these things would have to spend a lot more money getting these things imported. Mm-hmm. So now is the time to probably sew all the natives you need this year because a lot of the stock inventory you have now are probably inventory that's coming already, right? So subsequently, later during the year, it's going to be a lot more expensive to basically sew native. So for if you're a fashion designer, it just means that you're going to spend more to get materials mm-hmm. and you have to somehow pass on that cost to your customers, and that can actually also affect or negatively impact on your revenue
yeah.
because your customers might not have the purchasing power to you know buy some of those things. So you could also start to look for locally made mm-hmm. materials that are actually of the same standard or close to the same standard of quality that you can get from abroad.
I can only hope so. Okay, this is coming from Olumide, and you're saying, Ugo Jerry, do I pay tax on my earnings while trading Forex? Will the government share in my loss if I pay tax on Forex? Thank you.
Government doesn't share in your loss. Government only shares in your success, and that's your profit. So the only thing government does basically is that when you get a loss, you can typically net that off future profits. It's called future taxable profit. So the way government calculates their own losses is different from the way you calculate your loss. So you might actually be making a loss on paper. But when the government looks at your books, the government can actually figure out that you're actually making a profit, a taxable profit. That's because some of the things that you see as expenses, the government doesn't see as expenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you have to pay taxes on the profits you make from Forex trading. But then government doesn't share your loss.
Only your gains.
Yeah.
But we're sharing their losses. Sometimes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's how government is designed.
Okay.
They can only just give you a relief.
All right. This is coming from Angela. Angela wants to know, good morning. Please, I am having difficulty finding data on the Nigerian Private Security Services Company. Where can I get it?
Google.
Simple. All yeah. right. This is saying, hello, Naira Metrics. I have a question you might have been asked before. Why can't state-owned companies like NNPC get listed on the Nigerian Stock Exchange? This is coming from my dad.
Nothing stops them from getting listed. I mean, government only just needs to decide that they want to privatize. So we've had several state-owned companies in the past get listed. By the way, Dangote Cement used to be BCC and it used to be listed. So you've got companies in the past that have been, a lot of the companies, even Nigerian Breweries was once government-owned
mm-hmm.
and then it was listed. So you can actually have government-owned institutions turn private and get listed. So, and part of the bill that is currently awaiting signature for the president, that's the PIG bill, that's the petroleum industry
mm-hmm.
bill, actually requires that they split NNPC into, I think, three or four. And then one of the splits should actually be listed, yeah, on the Nigerian Stock Exchange.
That'd be good.
Yeah, so, and it was something that we were all anticipating last year, but it didn't happen. As well as MTN listing, it didn't happen. So, who knows? Maybe, excuse me, this government might decide, okay, you know what, maybe we should list. But throughout the campaigning, they never said anything about unbundling.
I think they were
NNPC.
Really tight-lipped about
it. Yeah, they didn't say anything about it. So unlike, you know, the opponent who was very clear that he was going to, you know, basically privatize NNPC once it comes in. Mm-hmm. NNPC is typically seen as government ATM, so I don't know.
Yeah. All right, we have to wrap it up. Ugodre, thank you so much for coming around. I'm sorry if we cannot take your calls. There are many calls today, but due to time, we had to take just messages for now. But hey, don't worry. We'll be back next week, Wednesday, for more. In the meantime, keep your eyes on the prize. Thank you so much.
Ugodre. All right. See you guys next week. All bye.
Right. Bye. Money, 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 money.